This week on Barbell Shrug,
we talk about Barbell Shrugged.
Shrugged.
Last time you said you enunciate too much.
Yeah, but you got to say the word right.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged.
This week on Barbell Shrugged. This week on Barbell Shrug, we talk about... No, I did it again.
It's all right. What did we talk about?
We talk about how strongman training is going to help you crush through strength plateaus. We talk about your definition of functional fitness. We talk about different strongman movements, how to implement them into your training.
And how new fun shit can help you smash plateaus.
how to make your own equipment, how to keep it creative,
and feel hella alpha afterwards.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
I could do as much as most of those guys that outweigh me by 100 pounds. Just because, like, the axle, I would be like, I'd actually split jerk it, and they would be like, that's cheating.
Yeah, that's cheating. And you shouldn't be split jerking. You got to muscle it.
100 pounds
like
extra is cheating.
That ain't a true test of strength in either ways.
All right, so... How strongman will help you crush your strength plateaus.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've got a great story about that, too. Yeah, I do. I took, like, we'll save the story. I'll save the story for once we get started. What's up, guys?
We are started.
Yeah. He always does that. He sneaks up on me. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Barbell Shrug Podcast. I'm your host, Mike, with a mic in his mouth. Mike McGoldrick, here with Mike McElroy.
Without a mic in my mouth.
Yeah. Kurt Mulligan.
Hey.
Faster this time. Good job. Yeah, and Alex Macklin.
What's up?
All right, guys.
What's
so today... Happening? Very exciting topic. I'm going to talk a little bit about strongman training, how you can use it in your training to help bust through strength plateaus. Not necessarily strongman the sport, but more about strongman exercises and lifts so that you can implement in your strength program.
Yeah, and like what is – I guess we can talk a little bit about functional fitness.
I think the title –
functional strength.
Yeah, the title of this almost was like strongman, the real functional fitness.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's so debatable. Because, like, I mean, what does that even mean? Like, what does functional fitness even mean? Like,
I mean, if you think about it, if you ever watched any strongman, because I've seen some strongman stuff. You know, you're carrying farmer's carries and yokes and all this other stuff. And
they're moving a large load across a large distance
right,
over time.
And they're all mm-hmm. awkwardly shaped objects. They're not something like a barbell, which is, you know, mm-hmm. designed to be lifted.
Yeah, like so, we were talking about earlier, and I said odd objects, and CTP actually said, well, it's actually not odd objects. Barbells are actually odd objects.
When we're
just doing stuff day to day, this is strongman's type stuff would be similar to what we're doing day to day versus having nice little handles on there.
I think the most functional application to farmer's carries is when you go buy like $200 worth of groceries.
And you want to
walk out, you're like, I'm not making two trips. And you have like 30 grocery bags loaded up on each hand.
Yeah, I feel like such a bitch if I have to make two trips
or use
a grocery bag. Yeah, like
who uses a buggy?
Oh man, no.
when I live downtown in an apartment, I don't give a shit. I'm like, I'm carrying all my groceries up the stairs.
So out of breath.
But I mean, that's a very functional movement because you've got to carry loads in your hands all, you know, in real life. So,
yeah. So I think it comes down to your own personal definition too. Like to me, like functional to me is like training with it is the ability to like, to be strong in imperfect positions. So, like picking up a stone or like, you know, flipping a tire or, you know, just anything like really that where you're just like it's not perfectly set up like a with a barbell and you can like have your back straight and belt on.
Yeah, like when you're moving furniture, like you need to know how to brace without it being a perfect position.
Yeah,
you're gonna be able to grab it. You're still making it, trying to be
deficit.
Able to brace, right. But it's not gonna be perfect.
Well, let's question the word functional real quick. I mean, what is functional? I think we define it maybe as multi joint movements that we see in the gym all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to let's just say like move. Like your TV, right? It's a big rectangle.
Yeah.
It's a flat panel. You can't do this like you said, this perfect barbell type setup where you have that whole kind of like when you go on the first date, like you pull your dick back kind of hug. Like you can't get that on your TV. You're going to have to get it close to your center mass, you know, and like get it close to you. So that, I mean, that's functionally moving real objects from real life.
Yeah. And you got to do it safely too without blowing your back out.
Exactly.
I mean, a lot of people doing simple activities around the house can, you know, you get hurt.
That's how most people get hurt, picking up a piece of paper or picking up whatever.
Yeah,
digging
mm-hmm.
for Tupperware.
So maybe, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was going to ask, like, so where do you start then? Like, we're saying, like, all right, so you would want to use these kind of, you know, these different lifts or, like, strongman movements to make you better at, like, real life, you know, everyday things. So, like, if you're someone who's never lifted before, like, would you start with that? Would you start with picking up stones and, you know, doing heavy sandbag carries or farmer carries or whatever, like, Are you ready for that? Can you do it safely as a beginner, or do you need to do like basic barbell deadlift right. movements first? Or
yeah, so maybe the question is, or maybe just to phrase it in a different way, like should, for as far as implementing this, should it only be for people looking for functional fitness, or should it be for competitors, or should it be for beginners getting mm-hmm. started, trying to get some strength? Like, and I think it can be applicable to all those different people. So to answer your question, I think beginners can use it, mm-hmm. Just learn to get stronger. Sometimes they can't do certain lifts, like they can't get enough on a barbell for a snatch to get any kind of strength benefits from that because they can't do the movement. So, but they can pick up a sandbag
yeah.
and use that and get stronger doing that. So I think mm-hmm. there's application for that for sure.
Yeah, I think, again, it comes down to that person, the individual's need for that function. Like mm-hmm. what do they actually just need to do? And then you could further that discussion into sport itself. So like I've got an example, like performance aspect, when I was like just maybe like 3 years into CrossFit and I was doing a bunch of Olympic lifts for a while and I was like extremely plateaued on my clean. And I remember, I remember training with Chris Moore for a while and we did a bunch of strongman training for a while. A, because it just was fun. It was like yeah. a change up from just doing Olympic lifts all the time. I took like 2 full months off. I think we wrote an article about it. We experimented with it, but I took like two full months off of doing any cleans, any Olympic lifts. And then the first day I came back, touched the barbell, I PR'd my clean. Like, because we were just doing like lots of stone pulls yeah. and I just got like really strong in weird positions. And then when I came back to clean a barbell, it felt like a little toy.
And you got to be explosive with it too.
Yeah, you got to be explosive.
Getting
yeah.
a stone to your shoulder, a sandbag to your shoulder, you got to be explosive. Whereas like if you go to, maybe you take a break from Olympic lifting and go to powerlifting, then you possibly could slow down a little bit there. But with the mm-hmm. strongman stuff, you can either get super heavy loads, like heavier than your one rep max with a barbell when you're doing like yoke carries or something. And then you can go, which would be lighter than your clean or snatch or something where you're doing stones. Mm-hmm. The actual weight is lighter, but it's taking more strength.
Yeah, it's like a real aggression that you need because you almost have to protect yourself. Like yeah. if you're lifting a stone, it's not as easy to bail out with that as it is with a barbell. Yeah.
Right.
So I don't know. I think if you have like no body awareness, I'm not going to be like, all right, we're going to go pick up stones today. We might do like deadlifts with them yep. maybe. Like
seen
it's
that
good,
happen.
It's good grip practice.
It doesn't end well for guys.
yeah.
Saw a kid. We had a kid in our gym. He picked up a stone. I was like, put it down.
He dropped it on his foot.
I saw one going. No.
No.
I wish he had dropped it on his foot.
What he heard was, keep trying.
Oh, no.
So he dropped it on himself.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Big ball, hit the little balls.
Ooh. Ouch.
You know, actually what you were saying.
We haven't done stone since.
Yeah, what you were saying is you didn't do any Olympic lifts for a long time or like a couple of months, and then you were just only doing strongman type stuff. And, I mean, what that is that's – you know, you probably hit a plateau, you know, mm-hmm. when you're in your Olympic lifts because you're doing the same movement. You're not challenging yourself. You're not learning mm-hmm. how to be aggressive, how to develop more power. So mm-hmm. When you do something different, it forces your body outside of that comfort zone. And so you have to maybe you're utilizing strength or power that you never
yeah,
utilized
never
before
into.
Because you just didn't have yeah. to with a barbell. Yep.
Yeah, it's just variance, you know.
It's like when people talk about wrestlers or fighters and how they try to emulate their conditioning in the gym, but it's just yep. so hard. It's the same kind of deal. Like you can do conditioning and stuff with a barbell, but you know, strongman type stuff has been compared to like wrestling a bear. Like you're just fighting against like you're fighting against everything. Like mm-hmm. everything is going against you, and you're trying to stay afloat. Basically,
yeah. I mean, I've tried to load some stones, and it is not easy to do, and it'll wear you out too. That's also strongman. If you think about CrossFit, mm-hmm. strongman is pretty much mm-hmm. heavy ass CrossFit. Because
yeah.
I mean, think about it. You're loading stones repeatedly.
Yeah. It's not just one time.
You're doing heavy carries, yoke walks. Like I did overhead yoke walks the other day, with not a whole bunch of weight, like just a frame for about 40 meters, and I was worn out.
Yeah.
Like it was literally. It
mm-hmm. yeah.
It's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. I did a comp once a couple of years ago and I was exhausted by the end of it. It was like some of the basic ones. It was like axle. It was log clean and press for reps, farmer carry. And then we did like the ending was like a stone over the bar or whatever. It's not platforming, but where you like throw it over for reps and keep throwing it back to you. And I remember like it was like a minute max reps you could do. In the weight class I was in, the stone wasn't very challenging. And I remember doing like 12 in like a minute. And I remember by the end of it, I was like, ugh.
What was the weight of the stone?
I don't know. Maybe like 200 pounds.
It was a big-ass stone, probably.
No, it wasn't that big, no. Like because they did it based on who had signed
just
up.
Just FYI, if you've never done stones, go try to pick up a 200-pound
okay,
stone.
So he said 200-pound stone.
He said not very heavy, but that's heavy.
Yeah, so we'll put it in perspective. Like I've I've clean and jerk double body weight before. It's around 300 pounds. And I, what was the stone you have? Like 169 pounds or something like that?
The
stone
the one at my house?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's 180. The one in the backyard.
Yeah, completely owned me. I couldn't pick it up to my shoulder.
200 pounds is heavy for a stone.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I don't care what you say.
That's what I love about strongman. It's a different type of strong.
That's exciting.
Yeah, as we've said in the beginning, like functional. Like to me, it's like. You get done doing these movements and you feel,
you
like, a
feel
man.
Like a man.
Yeah,
like, even if you're a girl,
like it beats you. Got like
you feel
you
like you
scars
up.
On you and like oh, I have some of my favorite equipment in the backyard. I have like a climbing wall, a huge ass tire, and like a 180-pound stone, and like just doing like an AMRAP with that, like just going back and forth. Oh man, I get done. I'm like filthy. I'm bleeding, and I'm like, man, what a workout.
You just
like,
played.
Yeah, I just played. Yeah. Yeah, and it's. Like, it's just getting out of the gym and playing with that stuff is just – there's something special about that.
But, you know, not everybody has access to things like stones and yokes and things like that. So, like, what can a person that doesn't have
those tools – what'd you say?
Isometric tree push.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do a technique one on an isometric tree push.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're just leaning against tree and you push. Yeah. intensity overload. No, so I think it comes with being creative, and like we're using stones and like yokes as like a common example. We'll go more into just, you know, like deeper discussion on like different movements you can do, but just talk about being creative. Like it could be anything that is like outside of the gym, like carrying a sandbag. Like you can make anything for really cheap. Like
you can make sandbags for cheap.
Yeah, like I go up to my father's cabin sometimes, and like I'll always look for things to train with around there, and he's got like a bunch of logs, and I'll do like squats with it, or you know, like throw it on one side, and what's the squat called you were doing the other day? I can't remember, but
waiter squats.
Yeah, waiter squats. Like load with one side, just like really odd object stuff.
What did you load up with that for that?
I don't remember. I think it was maybe 70 pounds.
No, I mean, like, what'd you have? Like a kettle?
I used a dumbbell.
Dumbbell.
Yeah, so
I
used a dumbbell.
Well, he had a farmer handle.
I had a farmer handle, but the farmer handle is, that's a different story. That's a little awkward. But he was, but I mean, that is, if you want to load it up.
I feel like we should hear that.
No, it's so funny. I'm over there training. I'm doing like some lunges or something, and I look down the turf, and he's got like farmer handles on, these big plates, and I was like, he's like squatting, and I was like, that looks badass. And all of a sudden, he goes, vroom.
Yeah,
the clips flew off.
Well, yeah, the clips helped.
They don't stick on.
They don't stick on there. But that's just more of a balance thing. I think with strongman stuff, one of the benefits that we didn't really talk about was the symmetry aspect, like building symmetry, building balance, like strength balance. Actually, the training I'm doing right now, Zach Greenwald, he does a strength ratio. I'm doing a lot of strongman stuff, a lot of yoke walks, carries, a lot of single arm, single leg stuff. Because in real life, it's very few things are bilateral, right?
Right.
Like it's unilateral. Yep. It's one leg, one arm, things like that. So if you don't, in weightlifting, my issue is that everything is bilateral. Right. Mm-hmm. So now I'm super weak when it comes to one side, and that's where you have imbalances, and that opens you up for injury, which is what my problem is right now.
Yeah, you know, that's following the principle that if you have an imbalance on one side, you don't fix that imbalance by doing bilateral stuff. No. Right, you need to like train that weaker side individually. Right.
So we're talking about being creative with stuff. So essentially, kind of like your example, like strongman doesn't necessarily have to be these kind of weird tools that we may not have in the gym, but maybe just changing up the movement a little bit.
Right,
you have a dumbbell or a kettlebell, and just put it on one side instead of in front.
Right,
throws everything off and makes it feel like a strongman type movement.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I do like a lot of like the handles. Like use the handles, and that it makes you have to be a lot more stable, which challenges. It's hard, so I use dumbbells sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking like strongman. If you want to get strongman, you don't have the equipment. Just go watch Rocky IV.
Oh yeah,
when he's training in the Siberian tundra.
Yep. Oh man,
and he's just sitting there.
Greatest montage ever.
He's sitting there like loading a giant ass wheelbarrow with stones and shit, and taking a sledgehammer, and it's I mean, super juiced out of his mind. But whatever.
And if you can't make it to Siberia, go like to go to someone's farm and just ask if you can move stuff around for him.
But you're talking about Rocky IV type training.
Yeah, yeah, like nice montage.
And get a montage film. Get CTP will come and film a montage of you doing Rocky IV training.
Yep. So I want to bring up some of like again, we know what the movements are in strongman competitions, but I want to talk about like what each item is used for, like to get stronger itself. Like let's talk a little about the yoke first, and talk about like why you would want to use that and how it's going to make you stronger. So if you see people doing heavy yoke carries, like why are they doing that and how is that helpful? Okay, I'll go. Okay. Well, first, you can put a lot more weight on a yoke when you walk with it than you can really anything else. Like you could load up a barbell and do it too if you don't have a yoke. But we were talking about this earlier. It's a CNS overload, right? Mm-hmm. So what's the magic word?
CNS,
central nervous system, right? So you're really overloading it, putting more demand on it than you would with, say, just doing like a regular back squat. So that makes you stronger. Like you adapt to that pretty fast.
Yeah. Like I said the other day, I was doing overhead yokes. I like the yoke is good because you can carry it different types of ways. You can load it on the back, you mm-hmm. can load it on the front, and you can load it overhead. So, mm-hmm. and each way you do it is there's gonna be differences on how it feels. And
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, because you can probably load up a huge amount of weight on the back and you can be pretty stable. But mm-hmm. once you start going overhead, mm-hmm. now that brings a whole you've got this side to side movement going on. You have all that you've got to balance, mm-hmm. and that's the makes it really, really challenging.
Yeah, man. You threw out the CNS and the central nervous system, but going a little bit deeper on that, you know, when you start off in strength training, you have newbies come in, they make PR on their back squat and get 100 pounds, and then the next week they come in and get 130 pounds. And usually that's not like just they're not getting that much stronger. It's more of the central nervous and the right. neurological drive that they get. And so this can kind of do the same thing. That's how we can kind of break through some of those plateaus mm-hmm. where, you know, you've been squatting, you get up your squat to 400 pounds or whatever, and you just can't break yeah. through that. Now all of a sudden we load up for a month or so yoke carries with 500 pounds on yeah. there. All yeah. of a sudden you take that 410-pound yep. back squat out of the bar. Yeah. And it makes it feel that much easier.
Well, you know what that is? A lot of that, too, is core stability. So the yoke, people try to think, oh, I'm going to just do a whole bunch of GHD sit-ups and get a strong core or whatever. That is not – having a strong core –
They do.
That's a thing.
Yeah. Having a strong core means you're being able to use your core to resist motion. Yeah. So if you load up a heavy yoke, mm-hmm. you're trying to resist, you know, the going forward part. So you've got to keep – the core has to work to keep your body upright.
Even front rack here.
Right,
is
right. So if you're – if you tend to cave at the bottom of a squat, mm-hmm. and it may be because, maybe your core is weak. If you fucking load up a heavy-ass yoke and take it for a walk for a few weeks, then we'll see how that
turns over. That's the weirdest feeling when you have – a whole lot of weight on the yoke and you try and walk with it. It's like baby steps the first time. You're like,
we're gonna do that this afternoon.
You pick it up and you're like, yeah.
I just I would like to throw this out there. I've never actually done yoke carries.
Oh really? Well, we're gonna have to fix this.
We're gonna gain 15 pounds a day.
Yeah. So I've done like a lot of farmers carries and stuff like that. And I used to read Rob Orlando's blog back in the day, like when I was looking for some variants in my training and we didn't have a yoke, so I would do what we just said, front rack carries. That's not because every gym doesn't have a yoke. I mean, I'd load up a ton of weight and walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like 200 pounds at least.
At least.
Yes. Man, I got a question about the yoke, but I want to bring up Rob Orlando too. That guy, I got to talk about him for a second. If you haven't yet, Rob Orlando is a CrossFit Games athlete.
OG.
From like, he's like an OG. He's one of the originals. You probably see.
Oh, yeah,
like,
Rob Orlando.
He was doing crazy stuff
like
back
King
in the day.
King Kong? What is
he
that?
He did. Yeah, yeah. He was doing King Kong, which is
single arm Fran.
Yeah, the one arm Fran.
95 pound dumbbell.
But the funny thing about him and why I like this story is that, like, I remember, but even before I was in CrossFit, I was looking at strongman stuff. And I was going through YouTube one day and I saw this Rob Orlando guy, and he was doing like 350-pound axle cleans or 300-pound or something. And I remember like watching all his videos, and I was like, this dude's a beast. And then like a couple years later, I'm in CrossFit, and all of a sudden, MainSite puts out a video with him in it. And I was like, no, that can't be the same guy. He lost like 100 pounds or something, and he's doing Fran. And I was like, oh, he's going to be so good because this guy's like, you know, he's at like 500, 600-pound back squat, and he's doing Fran now. But anyways, he ends up going to CrossFit Games and killing it. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Funny how I'd like discovered him before like – He'd even made it mainstream. It was fun. But back with the yoke, so we're talking about loading it and, like, being heavy, but, like, how heavy are we talking? Is it relative to body weight or?
It doesn't have to be that heavy. Mm-hmm. I personally, you can make it heavy. It's going to give a different effect. It's in mm-hmm. what you're going for. Like, for me, I'm going for a lot of endurance, carrying endurance. So I'm going to load it lighter up, mm-hmm. lighter, and then walk for it for a longer mm-hmm. distance.
Yeah. I think that's where CrossFitters can kind of go, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I've used it with some of my competitors to get
distracted with the marker. Why do we get the markers? They got one. They look really
efficient. Oh, God. with some of my competitors, I'll have them do it. Again, it's an easy way to tax the metabolic system, like you were talking about earlier, as hard as kind of like wrestling a bear. But it's not going to make you that sore. Like, you're not having to do 150 wall balls where your leg's going to be all trashed the next day. If you do that, you know, a carry or even a sled drag for 10 minutes, like, you're going to get some good metabolic work without smoking the muscles.
Right. So we talked a different way. Enduring, but you mentioned the guy that is training you, Zach Greenwald.
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked or whatever. He said long-term goal, 1.65 times your best back squat is what you should be able to carry for 10 meters.
With on the yoke.
Yeah, Jesus. So if you've got a 400-pound.
That's what we're going
to
try later.
That comes out to like 660.
Yeah, I've tried 600. I did that in the comp, and I made it like 12 feet. And I stopped because I didn't feel safe. I felt like my bones bending.
Were you doing the dolphin? Were you?
Yeah, you start to do that. You start to like
the dolphin coming out of water.
You feel your pelvis moving back and forward underneath your shoulders. And that's weird.
So don't try that at home.
Yeah. So start light, get comfortable with it, build some control.
We were gonna try that, but I'm not trying it now. I don't know.
So we're going to do a farmer's carry. We're going to try that.
One of the things was the farmer's carry.
Yeah,
to your
one
deadlift?
For every.
It's on the Shrug strength test.
Yeah, on the Shrug strength test, your max overhand grip deadlift.
No hook grip.
No hook grip, sadly.
So if you got baby grip, sorry.
Yeah.
One rep max for farmer's carry, max distance. So 50% of that in each hand. So yours was.
That's a good test. Yeah. So if you can double overhand. If you can overhand grip deadlift without a hook grip, let's say 400 pounds, you're going to put 200 pounds
in each hand
and walk as far as you can with it. That's a grip test. See how. We're doing that after this.
McG just crushed 200 kilos. You're going to have some weight in your hands.
Yeah, we're going to do that and video us doing it and put it in the episode. So.
Yeah, very cool.
Y'all are going to do it.
Yeah. We can't talk
Alex. I have my training, okay? I follow my program like a good athlete.
Shout out to Alex for following the program.
I'm out. I can do whatever I want right now. With the loading, one thing to think about, obviously, and that, you know, feeling unsafe, you're obviously loading your spine with a ton of load, more than a back squat. So there's something to consider there with how often we want to do this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one is one of the main ones that you need to be careful with, loading too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe once a week at most. But like sled drags, you can do those all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Different things, but think of it just like any other training modal. Like, just do it once a week or so.
Yeah.
I don't have any data, or I'm not an expert in this, but I would say to get the most bang out for your buck in terms of training with a yoke, I would say load it up to a medium weight and walk a medium distance. Yep. Yeah. Do multiple sets of that.
Yeah, I would definitely work on the volume of it first rather than like loading with super high intensity, because you just need to get comfortable with that, shifting from weight, you know, like side to side balance when you walk.
It's a learning process. Yep. You'll get better as you learn how to move, which also the yoke will teach you how to move with a load, with a heavy load on your back.
Let's talk about other things like stones. Like, what are, obviously, like, picking them up is functional because it's like weird and oblong, you know, like getting it to your shoulder is tough. But like,
oblong?
Is that a word?
It's spherical.
oblong. No, like stone. Like, have you ever seen like natural stones? People picking up natural stones and
like
doing that.
Parallelogram.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Hustleful Stone?
The Hustleful Stone. That thing is brutal. Yeah. Trying to get that off the ground. Oh my gosh.
It's like a big coffin, maybe.
Yeah, it looks like a tomb or whatever it is. It's this like weird diamond shape. Pick that thing up. We used to have one at Faction. That thing was brutal.
Oh, yeah,
We would actually, some of us couldn't even get it off the ground. We'd have to put it on a box, and then we would just pick it up and walk with it. And oh my gosh, it was exhausting. we would just like trade off doing laps. But yeah, weird stuff like that. So stones, like learning to brace and then pick something up, it's just like a really challenging deadlift.
Yeah.
Picking up a bar is very easy because you can set. You know, learning to actually go lower in that deficit, you get really strong learning to pull lower like that.
And a lot of people, I feel, think it's unsafe to pull to load a stone, to pick up a stone. But, I mean, if you think about it, if you have the proper technique, it's actually very safe to pick up a stone because you're lapping it and then you're using you're not rounding at the back. You're rounding at the upper back, and people think, "Oh, you're rounding. Their back is rounding, and that's no good."
Well, I think the bracing is what's important. So when you go to pick it up, you're not initiating the movement with your spine. Your spine is braced, and the legs are still actually moving, right? So you're not picking. If you can see me on camera, you're not like going, and you're not like you're not, what's that?
Curling up.
Yeah, right, you're not Jefferson curling it up. Right. Like, that would be really not smart.
But you do have to get your torso over
it. But you need to learn to brace your spine in a position when it's not perfectly straight. And we're not saying that's good, but that's going to happen in real life.
That's real. Life movement.
And I think mostly what they've talked about, and I'm not 100% on this, but I think Stuart McGill has talked about, like, the most of where the damage comes in on the back is not in the back being rounded or straight. It's when it moves under load.
Changes direction.
That's absolutely
too straight.
Yeah.
That's when it's under load. Shearing forces. So if we brace in that flex position and stay in that flex position the whole way up, then it's a little bit safer.
Yeah, that's actually what my physical therapist was telling me, exactly what that is. It's the back, the spine can be in this flex position or it can be an extended position.
As long as
As long as it stays there. But if you move that quick motion from
with a load on it,
with a load, that's what actually causes injuries or problems.
And even further from that, so obviously if you want to get better at practicing that, I would just practice like lapping or just deadlifting a stone. And then once you're comfortable with that, once you lap it, then you can work on the actual hip extension, which is like really fun to work on because you have to be very powerful and explosive. If you've ever seen someone that's kind of inexperienced with a stone, they lap it pretty well and then they go to like actually throw it on the shoulder, and it's like they don't know how to use the hips while this is still not in a perfectly straight position. Like they want to jump or something, but they just go, you know, and didn't go anywhere.
Yeah. Could you practice? Could you practice with like a wall ball or something, or a med ball or anything?
Yeah, you could. Yeah. I think it's a good movement pattern. Like, practice just lapping it, moving the hands. So like when you see someone lap the stone, again, I'm not like an expert on strongman stuff, but I have a little bit of experience training with it. When you lap the stone, you want to move the hands so that the force is directly away from your, like it's opposite of your, or across from your body. Yeah. So that way when you're actually pulling it into you, everyone tries to go under. Right, and then you don't have any power coming up this way. So if you pull it into you, you change the direction, and it's almost like rolling up your body and up and over. And you can practice that with a med ball.
Can we talk about continental cleans? Because I remember
those fail videos.
Well, I know that back in the old faction days, they were doing continental cleans, and I don't know if everybody knows what continental cleans, but you take a fat bar,
an axle,
or an axle, and. You clean it to your belt, and you have to kind of hyperextend.
You have to switch grip it.
Yeah, you switch grip it, and it lays on your belly, and then you get the bar into the front rack by using your hips and all that, whatever. Yeah. But it's such an awkward looking thing, and I remember you did it.
It looks awful.
Yeah, and you actually just cleaned it.
Yeah. If you have a strong enough grip, you can kind of like get away with that with an axle. But if you're like going to do real weight, you can't like double overhand with that. But like we were all new to that and we were messing around with it, and like the idea is you mix grip it up to the belt because it's just easier to pick up this way. It doesn't want to roll out of your hands. You switch the grip around and then you kind of use like an upward, like a hip extension, like jump to actually get into a front rack. I remember doing it, and I was doing it with a lot of other really big guys and they're like resting on the belly. I remember doing it, and it's just like pinched all my skin. And I was like, ow! I just dropped it and was like, I'm just going to power clean this.
Yeah.
People talk mad smack about that. It was an old Albany video that was circulating, and still is to this day. But, man, I always replied with a video of Rob Orlando doing it in his backyard with metal plates and 405.
Yeah.
Just like a boss. And I was like, now talk about it. These are people that learn.
What I like about it was cool with, like, continental cleans, like, it's the way that someone figured out how to pick up, like,
heavyweight.
Like that heavyweight with that, because you can't clean that. Like, how else can you do it? What's that one clean technique where you pick up the bar and then you like stand it on its side and then you like roll it on you to stand up? What's that called? I can't remember the name, but a guy actually tried that in a CrossFit competition, and they like made a video on like how you couldn't do that. But he did it with like 330 pounds.
Yeah.
He like put it on the bar. He like picked it up. He's like, whoa. And then he set it up like this. And then he came down and he squatted it and he stood it up.
That's a very real lift, though. It has a name. Yeah. There's a name for it.
I can't remember what it's called, but I, like.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I mean, that's A to B. Like, well, you got it done.
Yeah, that's that is functional. So you have to move a load. You have to figure out some way to get it to where you can actually move it to where you want to go. So you just got to figure out how to get it up.
What other movements? So things like let's talk about upper body a little bit. Like, how can you get, you know, strongman training for the upper body, like get the grip stronger.
Farmers carries.
That and like the cannonball pull-up bar holds and the little plate
pinch blocks
that hang from the pull-up bar.
Oh, those things are so much fun.
No, they're not.
Well, yeah, I mean, for fun for you, because you have like King Kong grip, you can just grip, what, like 100 pounds with the ball, like, attached to it?
That's something fun to do, though. Go get some cannonballs. It's like a little metal ball, and practice picking things up with it. Or, like, pinch blocks. Like, they look like little just metal cylinders. Metal blocks, yeah, parallelograms. And just see how much you can deadlift with it or walk with it.
Yeah, so it's just changing up the grip strength because we're so used to gripping, you know, a bar marker.
Yeah.
Pull-up bar or normal barbell, and it's the same grip always. And so, you know, sometimes people have, you know, whether it's finger or wrist kind of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes changing up the grip will allow them to work that grip in a different way that gives them some relief for the tendons and joints in different ways, but they're still working the grip strength. So if you have to grab a ball or a pinch plate, it's, like I said, it's just different.
Yeah.
So speaking about grip, so I've been doing a lot of bicep curls in my bro session, but I tend to flare up my forearms a lot, and that's just a function of just having a weak grip.
Yeah.
So training that grip has actually helped me get kind of rid of that pain.
Yeah.
When I do some bicep curls, because my left hand was particularly weak.
Huh.
Yeah. Go to the doc. What's wrong? I can't do my curls.
Yeah. My grip. It would hurt every time I actually try to curl.
Yeah.
So. Training my grip more and then learning how to really grip hard has been beneficial to not having that pain.
Yeah. What's that? Pinky out.
I'm just trying to think of some ways to – I don't know.
I'm sorry.
Trying to think of some ways to implement this in a CrossFit gym setting, you know, trying to get some of these same feelings. And I'm thinking of, like, front rack kettlebell carries and things like that. Those are – they give you that same feeling that you're like, this is only – 70 pounds total, but this feels terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
I like doing sandbag carries, like hugged.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, obviously there's like easier ways to do it, but putting that load on the front of your chest and then learning how to brace and breathe while walking.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We
it's
did
crushing.
That for a competition. We did our team competition, and it was a 2000 meter row, and you switch every 500 meters. And while your partner's rowing, the other partner's holding a kettlebell in this position. And by the end of it, they're just like,
"Yeah,
oh wow!"
I don't see
melting like a can. Yeah.
I don't see enough overhead carries in CrossFit Metcons.
Just overhead anything.
Just taking
other than handstand pushups.
You know, just taking a 45-pound plate and going for a walk. You know, like a 400-meter walk. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't see a lot
it burns,
of that.
It'll burn.
There's not a lot of that. And
yeah,
it's good and it's safe.
Yeah, it's safe. It's not. It's not going to wear the joint down, and it's gonna help with building overhead stability.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Waiters, walks, single arm carries.
I don't see a lot of that, and I feel like that's something that CrossFit gyms should program more in their regular training.
Like
we
talked about earlier, like and I'm 100% guilty of this too. Like CrossFit talks about constantly varied and stuff, and somehow this piece has gotten left out somehow. Mm-hmm. And this is a great piece that needs to be implemented, whether it's your beginners in your group class to your competitors. Mm-hmm. I think this piece of the training program, you know, just this tool bag can be a good additive to your program to help break through some plateaus. Well, like
why do you think that is? Do you think is it like a measurable thing?
Out?
Yeah.
No, I think it's just because it's not as common. You go to buy equipment and you buy barbells and plates. You don't just go to buy a bunch of strongman
stuff. You prioritize your dollar as a gym owner. Yeah. I mean, you see what you need. You're like, usually
we don't have
bars.
Any sandbags.
However,
right.
I found personally that Army Surplus Store is a great thing for you can go buy a duffel bag. You can get a little scale, fill a bunch of garbage bags, make them 10 pounds each, throw 20 of them in there. You got a 200-pound sandbag now, and you can take out 10 pounds at a time when you tie those bags off. Mm-hmm. You buy the ammo cans, fill them full of sand. There's your farmer's carries.
Yeah. You know what? Like, using things like tires, too. It's like, I would much rather teach a group of 20 beginners how to flip a tire than teaching them how to clean a barbell.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, blasphemy. No,
yeah,
like,
it's
but it's easier. It's fun. Like, it's cheap. Tires are nothing. Like, I got two.
Usually they'll give them to you.
Yeah. If you go, they want you to, want you to come get rid of them. Like, they're asking, like, please take this off our property.
You talk about marketing, too. Like, putting a picture up of somebody doing a deadlift with a barbell and versus a picture with somebody flipping a tire.
Yeah.
A picture with a tire is going to get so many more likes and reposts.
Well, it's interesting. I remember, I don't know, maybe it's because the general transition, like, CrossFit has become so mainstream. It's kind of gotten away from that hardcore route. Because I remember when I first started CrossFit,
that's
we did a lot of that stuff.
The dirtier your gym was, it was like the cooler the gym was.
Yeah. So doing all this, you know, tire flips and taking a sledgehammer to the tire, like, that was all in our programming. But I don't see that much very often.
I think a little bit, too, comes with, like, it's hard to measure that, you know. Like, if you do, like, an AMRAP with, like, tire flips and sledgehammer hits, like, on a tire, it's like, how do you know what score you really got? But
800
hits. More about just the training then, you know. So
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what are you? You're coming in
just
to.
But yeah, why are you doing this?
You're coming in to have fun. You're coming in to get functionally fit. Mm-hmm. So taking an odd shaped object and trying to move it is. Mm-hmm. I think the Man, absolute definition of functional
some of the
fitness.
Most fun I've ever had doing Metcons, like on Saturdays when all the bros and I used to do a bunch of strongman stuff, was when we'd make up our own strongman medley. Mm-hmm. And that, like, a medley is like just a combination of like the different movements, and we would do it for time. And I'm talking like we could all do it, those thing, like me and Chris Moore were doing the same way, and he's like way stronger than me, but like some of it was so long too. It was like 3 or 4 minute workout. By the end of it, he's gassed, and I'm like failing over and over. But I'm like, a little spaz trying to lift the weight. But that was the most fun, because we just made it up, and it was like a challenge, and we didn't know if we'd finish it or how hard it really was. But doing that stuff was so much fun.
Well, I think CrossFit's motto is try new sports regularly. Sports, I think you should probably do something like strongman almost every day. Yep. You know, at least some kind of movement, like move some kind of odd shaped object, do a heavy carry, do a yoke walk, do a sandbag carry, do something, one of those things every single day. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll get a lot of benefit out of it.
Yep.
Very cool. We talked a little bit about like how to start with what intensity you would want to do, and it's going to kind of depend on the movement, like what is safe, like if you need to practice the movement first before you start loading, like for example using the yoke. We talked a little bit about how often to start doing it. So if something like heavy yoke carries, you don't want to do it like every day, you don't want to overload that much, but like once a week is good. But when it comes, like you just said a second ago, like implementing new things all the time, like for sure you definitely could. So not the same as like overloading every day, but
you can go lighter. It doesn't have to be just because it's strongman and you see Magnus whatever pulling a truck. You don't have to do it to that level of intensity. But I mean, there are some people that prescribe to just move slow a little bit every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Move heavy, something, move moderate, slowly every single
primal.
Day.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask.
Very primal.
What's your favorite? If you had to pick a strongman movement, what's your favorite one? Just the most fun to you.
I'd say definitely the back yoke. Just
yoke walks?
Yeah, just back yoke with the yoke walks. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, man. Just that feeling of having just something really heavy, and you feel like fucking Atlas. You're just holding this big giant
thing. It's a lot of concentration.
Yeah. And it'll wear you out for sure. Mm-hmm. And you feel it all down your legs. You feel it in your ass, like all down your legs. And you will be... If you're not used to it, you will be very, very sore after doing it. The whole body.
Very cool. Kurt?
I'd say most recently, me and my buddy, we did 400 meters with a 110-pound dumbbell, just carrying it and walking. I love.
Oh, like in the front like
yeah,
that?
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, brutal.
You couldn't like baby hold it or put it on your shoulder. And after we were done, we both looked so jacked for like an hour. My back was just spread out. He's like, you look huge, bro.
Did you intentionally hold it like this to get a bicep pump?
And when I switched off when it was his turn, and then I came back to it, I would do it the other way so my arms were even. So I love farmer's carries a lot, but that was such a blast.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's creative. Yeah. Mike, what about you?
I would say either tire flips, just because they're fun and you get dirty, like you said.
Uh-huh.
But something we did in college all the time was push somebody's car. And that is fun. Makes you feel like a man.
Yeah, I mean.
You're pushing a car.
We talk about simple stuff. You don't have equipment, man.
Yeah.
Pushing cars is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Push it down the road and then push it back
and the same people drive by and they're like, wait a minute,
going
that way.
Just don't do it with a big populated place, down a hill somewhere.
Or like a baby in the car.
And if you want to make it CrossFit-y, we would like push the car and then jump into the, do box jumps on the back of your trailer bit.
Mm-hmm.
That's legit.
You've skinned your shit on.
That sounds
oh,
like.
Oh, man. Doing box jumps in my truck bed once?
Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah.
That sounds like some stuff you would do in Mississippi. That's a redneck business right there.
I remember, and right before I did it, too, I was doing box jumps in my truck bed. And right before I was doing it, too, I was like, man, like,
we're
I can't.
Jumping off gravel rocks.
Yeah, we were like landing on gravel and jumping on the bed, doing like a Fight Gone Bad or something like that. But I remember like thinking, man, like, I can't believe how many people like slip and hit their shin on box. Like, I've never done that. I've been doing this for 6 years. I've never done that. Literally the next rep, crushed it. Crushed my shin. I threw off everything I had. I ran across the field. I was just going, oh. It's one of those that hurts so bad it makes you mad.
Yeah,
and you're like,
oh.
Yeah, I had a picture on my old phone of the strip of shin bacon you left. On
oh, it was disgusting.
They had like hair sticking out of it.
Yeah, that was so bad.
Yeah. Well, what's yours?
My favorite, I would say like, not just stonework, but heavy platforming a stone, like something that is like monumental, like a one rep max, because when you actually do it, it's like the greatest feeling. It's like you unlock that next level of achievement. You couldn't believe it. And I remember like the best feeling was when I platformed the 400 back at the old faction.
Oh yeah.
And I remember because no one else at the gym had done it yet. And I don't know if it was because I'd like figured out how to like actually use technique or something, but like for my body weight, I was the only one done it. Pick it up and then, like putting it on. I just remember like running around the gym, like yeah.
What were you? What was you weighing at that time? Like what? How much did you?
Probably 190.
And you were only doing like CrossFit.
I was a CrossFitter.
And
didn't
you just run a marathon or something?
It was
like
a half marathon.
Yeah. So that's the benefit.
That didn't matter though. I didn't run it hard.
Interesting thing I just thought about in lifting stones, like in barbells, we have these nice little 2.5 pound plate that we can do small increments. Mm-hmm. Like with a stone, it's either you do the 150 or you do the 200. Like,
yeah, you do the 150 a bunch, and then you just try the 200 a whole lot of times until you finally get it.
That's awesome.
That's why I like it, because it's like you might be like, man, like I'll never get there, and then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I can't believe I just did that. It's a 50 pound PR. Yeah, for sure. That one's my favorite.
Yeah, and you did see some carryover to your regular training too.
Yep. So. I mean, again, like it just makes you tough. Teaches you not to quit. You know, when it gets like really heavy and tough.
Teaches you to use your body in ways that you weren't using it before. And
let's all go do some right now.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm fired up. I want to go do some fun stuff.
This is great.
Cool. Anything else you guys want to add?
Nope. I'm ready to carry something.
Yeah, for sure. So check out the Shrug strength test. We've got a bunch of these things that we just added in, specifically like the double overhand deadlift. I keep saying double overhand. No one calls it that. Why do I call it that?
You do.
An overhand no hook grip deadlift. Basically, go around, pick up the deadlift like this, see how much you can do. Once you find that one at max, then you can take 50% of that weight, put it in each hand, and walk with it as far as you can. That's the challenge. Come play along with us.
Your hands are going to be lit up.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Nope.